Hello, everyone. This is Steve Martin, and welcome to Stars on Tap. Today is August 23rd, 2014. Our guest today is a gentleman from the Drifters. He's got a brand new single out called Nothing Compares to You. This is Ronnie Canada. Welcome, Ronnie.
Hi. How are you, Steve? How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. You?
Pretty good.
Good. You're calling from the UK today, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You enjoy living over there?
Well, I'm saying it's an up and down situation. I enjoy it. I like Europe because over here they keep all of our old music, the Motown, the music from way back. I mean, they just keep it alive. It's like living in Motown back in 1960s, okay?
Yeah, I understand that. There's a lot of people that don't seem to forget stuff over there like we do over here. It's whatever you've got now and today, and they're... They just keep things going, and I think that's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Because
a lot of the old acts that you thought, okay, like people over in America have never really had a real clue of how many units their records have sold or how many fans they have around the world, but it's very surprising to find out that people still know your music and know all about you, and they really study the history of American artists.
Well, you know, there's so many artists over here, I guess, is the thing. But, you know, with the advent of the Internet the way it is today, you can access anything from anywhere. And I just appreciate people keeping the old stuff alive. And that's what I like to try to do, is keep the old stuff alive. And if something new comes along and it's interesting, I'll work with it. But, you know, I like to talk to guys like you. It's had a rich history.
Yeah.
So The first thing I thought we would talk about is, just tell me a little bit about yourself and your history in the music business.
Well, my history in the music business, starting out in Cleveland, Ohio, was singing in talent shows as a young teenager. My mother said I started singing when I was 5 years old. No, she said I was 18 months old.
Wow.
Singing through the house, singing, putting on my father's shoes, you know, singing through the house, so like I've always been really into music, you know, as a child, being in the Salvation Army Church and going to church, singing with the junior songsters and singing in church choirs, doing musicals. And, well, I started off, actually, I got my break with a group called SOUL, which was a very big cult group now over in the UK and all over Europe. I used to be a sound technician, a roadie, sometimes a driver, a hairdresser, a sound technician, light technician. So I started off with them traveling all over America, doing shows with the Jackson 5, Kool & the Gang, Bloodstone. They were a pretty popular group.
Wow, that's a nice history.
So when that group broke up, I started working with a few other groups doing sound and lights. Got a chance to work with the OJs, with a group they were producing called Truth. And when the OJs produced Truth, Larry Hancock, who was the lead singer of SOUL at the time, asked me to stay on board and to be the sound technician and the roadie for Truth, do the same job I was doing with SOUL. So I stuck with them, started going to recording studios with them and the OJs, and working for the OJs. I used to get it. My paycheck used to come from the OJs. When they started the record company called SOC Records, which was south of Cleveland Records.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, they took Truth on a 75-city tour, which I didn't get a chance to go on because I got fired for some particular reason. I had done something. I had an album that belonged to the OJs that was not even released. And they got kind of mad at me behind me having that. And so it took a toll on me for a minute. I was a bit depressed about that. But then it made me start singing. I really got into my real talent then. I, you know, tapped into what I can really do. Started writing songs with a friend of mine. And these guys were all popular. They wrote some hits for Billy Davis and Merle McCool. So I started hanging with them and writing songs. Then after that, I joined a church choir called the Crawford Road Christian Church Choir, and I started singing in priesthood required within that church and gospel group. Then I built my confidence up, and I sent some auditions for a place called Caramel House in Cleveland, Ohio, where people like Ron O'Neill, who played Superfly, Ruby Dee, Bob Hope, even. All these people went to Caramel House back in the day. And so, matter of fact, the OJs got their name from a guy who used to go there called, his name was OJ. So they got the name of the OJs from him. And so I joined Caramel House and started doing musicals. And one day I came to Caramel House and the director, Mike Malone, who was very popular, he used to work with Debbie Allen and all the people from Fame. He told me some guys had been there looking for me one day, and they left a number for me to get in touch because they were signing a record deal, and they had some things going on, and they wanted me to be in the group. So I was really surprised by that, and the group was Sly, Slick, and Wicked, a group who the OJs had produced and managed, and James Brown had produced and managed before the OJs had them, and they had three albums out already. They had one out on Polydor, and they had one out on Paramount, and they had the stuff they did out with the OJs. They had a Motown album out. So the deal that we signed was with Carl Maduri, who produced Wild Cherry, played a funky music white boy, mm-hmm. which was my very first record. And we had a release out called All I Want Is You on Epic CBS Records. So that was my very first ever record to be released.
Nice. So, go ahead.
You go.
Oh, okay. You know, all these people seem to be so intertwined in each other. It's just amazing that back in those days where you didn't have instant communication, that people could just follow each other around. And I don't know, I just think it's interesting that you know, everybody kind of worked together to make different groups and different parts. And it's just a good thing that happened, because if not, we wouldn't have who we have today.
No, we wouldn't.
So,
while I was with Sly, Slick, and Wicked, we did a few shows. We didn't do a whole lot of shows. We did this one place called Juvide in Cleveland, Ohio. But after that, after I left the group, that's when Hank Ballard came to town.
Mm-hmm.
And the same guy who put me with, the same guy who put me with the Blue Notes, a guy named John Hill, he brought Hank Ballard to town. So Hank needed some people to go on the road with him, the same background, and he needed a new group because he hadn't been on the scene for 20 years. So a lot of people thought Hank Ballard was dead. And when he came back, he had been off the scene for 20 years. And a lot of people didn't know that Hank was the one who actually wrote the twist. And he did the twist, and Chubby Checker did a cover version of his twist. So with Hank, he took me on the road with him to Pittsburgh Stanley Theater. I don't know if you ever heard of a big guy who was in the rock and roll business, Porky Chadwick?
I don't think so. Maybe I have.
Well, he was like responsible for keeping a lot of the rock and roll scene going. Okay, we did a show with Hank. I did a show with the Drifters before I ever thought about being in the Drifters. With Charlie Thomas and his Drifters, we did, it was the Flamingos, Bo Diddley, Arlene Smith and the Chantels, Daddy and the Juniors. It was quite a few big acts on that show, and that was my first time ever being exposed to an audience that big. So after then, Hank kept me with him, and I did another show with him, and when I moved to Florida, I moved to Miami because the Blue Notes, well, you know, I sang with the Blue Notes from Harold Melvin and the...
Okay.
Well, Ali had left, because I heard your interview with Ali as well, and he was telling you where he was with the Drifters, with Bill Pinckney's Drifters, and then he was with the Blue Notes right before the Temptations. So, Ali left the group, I think, in about, 77, 79. He left in 79. I was still with Sly, Slick, and Wicked. So I came with the Blue Notes in 1981. We recorded an album under the name of Caviar. And the first release was Never Stop Loving You, which I'm the lead singer of. And they didn't actually release the whole album back in that day because there was a lot of complications going on with the record company and the guy John Atkins, who was the lead singer of the Blue Notes. He was the lead singer before Teddy Pendergrass. Teddy Pendergrass used to be his drummer. So John hired Ali to sing with him as well after Teddy left the Blue Notes. Okay, when Teddy left Harold Melvin, he took the original Blue Notes with him. And then all of a sudden, the Blue Notes called Teddy and said they didn't need him or something. They got John back in the group. And that's when they got Ali in the group as well. And they were having a lot of legalities with the name of the Blue Notes, but we still performed as the Blue Notes, but still Harold Melvin took them to court and they wasn't allowed to use the name anymore because they've been recording as the Blue Notes, but he was stopping every record that they were putting out. So then we had to change the Caviar, so when we changed the Caviar, that stopped that, okay? So, like I said, that history with the Blue Notes, I stayed with them for, what, a couple of years? And like I said, I'm the lead singer of Caviar, which was the Blue Notes, which that album is out right now. I got it out now. It's called Caviar, featuring Ronnie Canada, the Lost album on Survivor Records. It's with a company right now called Essential Media Group Records coming out of Miami, out of Hollandale, Florida. So, and we recorded some other stuff in TK Productions over at Henry Stone Studio to add to the album as well, which is not featured on this album because all the masters are still in the of John Atkins' wife, because all these guys have passed on. You know, John's passed on, Larry Brown passed, Harold Melvin passed away, Teddy Pendergrass, and Bernie Wilson. So the only, there's two Blue Notes because Lloyd Parks was the original Blue Note on all the hits as well. He's still alive and doing his Blue Note show. But then Jeremiah Cummins, who is my cousin, he came into the Blue Notes to replace Lloyd back in the day. So he's still around as well. He's got his Blue Note group, and he's preaching now. He's an apostle. So I'm very much in touch with both of those guys right now today.
That's interesting. So tell us a little bit about your current project that you have, the single.
Well, nothing compares to you. Like I said, I do a lot of writing. And I have these guys, producers, sending me tracks to do constantly. I mean, from South Africa, here in the UK. And every time I turn around, somebody's sending me something to do. They want me to write the lyrics. And I send them the tracks back after I do the lyrics and do the background vocals or whatever. And they put the stuff out on their labels. So we got a lot of stuff which is on TrackSource, Beatport, iTunes, Amazon. So I think I got about 150 releases out right now on iTunes and TrackSource and Beatport. But I also have a lot of solo releases out that I've had out all through the 90s. So I've been very consistent. I've got one out called Tell the World, The Powers of My Music. I've got one out called Want to Get Funky With Me, Come Together. I got loads of releases out back to back, Steve. I've been very consistent through the years.
Well, you know, that's what keeps you relevant.
Well, with the industry, the way it is today, people are not buying a lot of records. People are doing all these free downloads. There's too many sites that you can free download stuff on, and it's stopping people from making the money. I've been sampled so many times and on different records from Italy and everywhere, but you can't seem to, I don't know, nobody wants to pay you. BMI, ASCAP, and all of these publishing companies and different people, they're not chasing up people's royalties like they should be.
You don't really hear much about that.
There's a lot of sites that's talking about it now. A lot of people saying how they never got paid for records. I mean, Edwin Starr, being a cousin of mine, like I said, he told me, he said, listen, man, I'm going to tell of the hits that I ever had on Motown Records. He said, so what you need to do is really forget about that and concentrate on what you're doing now. Concentrate on the new stuff. He said, the only way I ever made my money was by live performance because I had the hit record. But so that gave me an avenue where I can go out there and work and make money, you know, and make a living for myself. And he said, that's how I made my money. But I'm also on three of his albums, you know.
I just don't believe that it's the right thing to do is go out and take people's money and get a product and essentially not pay for it. But the internet, there has to be some sort of trade off for people to get what they want, and even if it's a subscription service, some kind of something has to give, because you can't continue to make music if you don't have the money to put into it. So, you know, I'd like to tell everybody out there to consider that next time you guys go out and download some stuff. I mean, it's great you like the music, and it's great that you know who these people are, but, you know, they have to eat their bacon and eggs as well as you do. So, you know, let's think about that at least. I mean, I'm not here to preach, but, you know, it is a problem, and it's illegal as well. So, you know, enough said about that, I guess, but... the internet's a trade-off. Somehow it has to be a trade-off. You keep your music alive on the internet. It keeps it, you know, but there has to be something there for the artist as well.
Well, you know, I just, I hadn't sung any of these songs in over 30 years. I was with a group called Mari in Miami before, and they were like the backing band for Betty Wright. So with that group, I had to sing a live duet with Betty on a live show. But the group was Omari, and the record was called After Loving You. And with Never Stop Loving You, and then another song off my album, Make Me Sing It, I had to go to France in May. I did a gig over there for the first time in France ever in my life on May the 31st. I know you know the group. Remember the group Sky?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now there's the ladies of Sky, not the whole group. The girls that were singing the lead vocals of Sky, they're together now. They're all sisters, Dolores and Denise and Bonnie. And remember Gail Adams?
Nah, that don't ring a bell, but maybe it would if I heard more.
Well, they all had big records out in the 70s and 80s. But anyway, I got called to come to... France to do a show with the Ladies of Sky and with Gail Adams for May the 31st. So I just did that gig for the first time in my life, and it was a great night. It was a fantastic night, and I never realized how many fans I really had and people that really knew my music. I mean, these people know so much about you, and it's like, wow. They've heard of you. They know about you. They come with your records, and they got the records for you to sign them. And it's like so amazing. I had people come from Germany. I had people come from Belgium. People from Spain. People from Austria. And there was a few Americans there as well. And I was like, wow, you guys know my records? And they was like, yeah, we know your records. You know, and it was like, wow, man. I was really shocked, you know?
Well, you know, I think part of that's from the internet. People are able to access stuff. And they can go out and buy used records or you know, ever how they get them. But the thing is still to pay for what you get.
Oh, yeah.
So you have a publishing company. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, you know how I got the publishing company? Edwin Starr took me personally to BMI to get me registered as a songwriter and composer. And while we were there, he said, I'm taking you down to BMI. I'm making an appointment for you. Because he know people was ripping me off a lot for my records and for my music, you know, and not wanting to pay me. So when he took me down there, he said, listen, your life begins today. This is the beginning of your life. He said, forget all the rest of the stuff. Now you're a songwriter and composer. So then, once I got registered, I asked him, Edwin, now how do I get me a publishing company? And he told me that if I was to sign on to his publishing company, then my publishing could come through his company. And I was a bit bewildered about doing stuff that way, because I said, I want my own publishing company. And I've been trying to get my publishing company for many years. So anyway, after I got registered with BMI, I kept in touch with one of the main guys that run BMI. His name is Phil Graham. He's the man under the CEO. So I called Phil one day and I asked him the question. I said, Phil, listen, I've been wanting a publishing company for a very long time, and how do I go about getting a publishing company? So he told me, listen, all you got to do, he said, you've already, I said, people told me you have to have about 4 or 5 records that's released. He said, no, all you have to have is 1 record that's been released that you've written, that's been out on a label. Then it makes you eligible to start your own publishing company. I said, that's simple. He said, yes, it is. So anyway, he told me when I got my next royalty check, he said, take that check or send me $100. At the time, it was $100. He said, you send me $100 and I'll send you the paperwork and everything. You fill it out and I'll tell you how to do it over the phone. And you just fill in what I tell you to fill in. Send it back to me with the $100, and I'll set you up your publishing company. He said, but you got to go through at least about 2 or 3 names. Pick a name that nobody else is using. So just, you know, because if somebody else is using that name, then it'll come back negative and saying that somebody's already using it and you can't use that name. So he said, find about 2 or 3 names. You know, just choose 2 or 3 names that you might want to use. So I started off, I used my mother and father's name on one. I said, okay, I'll try it, I'll check this out, which my father's name was James and my mother's name was Margaret. So I thought about using Jim Mark. But then I thought about my 2 youngest children. I got a daughter, her name is Jasmine. Okay, Jasmine Hannah Ruth. And my son's name is Ty Ramon. And then my youngest children. So I said, okay, well, what I'll do, I'll check these names out. So I use those names, which is called Jasmine, which is Jasmine's name, and Moan, my son Tyron Moan's name, so I combine both of those, Jasmine Music. So when I sent him back to Phil, he checked to see was the registration okay on that, if it was clear that nobody was using those names. And that's how I started my publishing company. So my publishing company is called Jasmine Music. And I have a song out called He Don't Really Love You that's off the album. And it's all that's publishing. The publishing is under that publishing company. And most of my works now, every time I write a song or register something, it's all under my publishing company, which is Jasmine Music.
That's cool. Very cool. You know, I think a lot of people wonder how those things work, and I'm glad you shared that with us so people can know.
Oh, yeah. They need to know.
Sure.
I mean, anybody that's in the music business, I mean, because I was told a lot of stories about, oh, no, you got to have 5 records, 4 records. And it's not true. All you need is 1 record that you've written, and you don't have to have a publishing company then, but if you've written a song and it's been released on a label, that's all you need to start your own publishing company. Once you get with BMI or ASCAP, and now you have SEAC, quite a few different people are going with SEAC, get in touch with your companies and find out how to start your publishing company. Because, as anybody knows, the publishing is the biggest part of the whole thing. The publishing money is the biggest. And I didn't know that. As a songwriter-composer, the royalties that you get off of a song, you know, you may get a few pennies, but if you've got the song published, and if somebody happened to come along and record your song, and the publishing is in your publishing, you have the administration, then I think you get paid pretty good money. Just like when I was with Sly Slick and Wicked, okay? Right now, John Wilson, Terry Stubbs and Charles Steele. I replaced Terry Stubbs as the Wicked. And I just posted some stuff on your page. So when you go on your timeline, you'll see some photos of me.
Okay.
With Sly Slick and Wicked, my album, you'll see the Blue Notes. So check your page. But But John Wilson, Terry Stubbs, and Charles Steele right now, they're enjoying very big success off of Justin Timberlake, because he sampled one of Sly Slick and Wicked's records before I was with the group. And on the record release that he's got out called Suit and Tie.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that one?
I've heard it, but I'm not familiar.
Well, it's a very big hit, but it's one of the samples off of Sly Slick and Wicked. So they're getting big royalties now. They just got gold and platinum records, and they're buying brand new cars. Okay?
Wow. So it's all about knowing the trick?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, but who was to know that these songs would come back and somebody would do one of your songs like that? I got to Never Stop Loving You right out. It's a group. I mean, right now, it's a group called Miami Horror. Okay, if you ever heard my song Never Stop Loving You,
yeah,
which I'll send you some files to. You've heard it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's a group out right now called Miami Horror. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And on YouTube, they got about 5 million hits on YouTube, but they sampled the bass line, the horn line, and the intro, the instrumental part of my record. And they got a very big hit. The group is out of Sydney, Australia, I believe, and the girl, I don't know where she's from, South Africa or somewhere, but mm-hmm. She's singing with them. But, yeah. But I tried to see if I could get paid off the record, but the songwriters who wrote the record, I did the original demos for them, so I didn't actually write the song. So I'm not getting paid from it, but I'm the lead singer of the record, but she didn't use my vocal.
Wow.
I'm hearing if she had to use my vocal, it'd be a different story. But she didn't use my vocal.
Man, there's so many ways to get screwed, isn't there?
Oh, man, there's so many. In this industry today, I'm just saying, you see all the samples. I got so many records I've been sampled on. People have used my voice without any kind of contact with me. They've never asked me, can they use my voice, or I don't know how they got my voice. Some of them told me off for acapella releases, but I haven't had any royalties or anything. And I'm saying, in trying to get a good lawyer, a theatrical lawyer, a music lawyer, to take up the case for you, everybody wants money, you know, before you even see any of it. So it makes it very hard to get paid for something that you've done. And it's just like, you feel like you're being raped.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's sad. I mean, that really is. But, you know, that's the way it is. So just figure out a way to get around it, I guess.
Well, you just keep singing. I keep singing.
Sure.
I keep writing. And I keep praying, Steve.
Sure.
I'm praying that something will hit up. Or maybe one of my records will jump up in a movie or something. Somebody would like it enough to just maybe put it in a soundtrack of a movie. You know, so there's still hope, you know.
Oh, as long as you're alive, there's hope. That's.
Well, I thank God for every breath.
You have to. Because without him, we wouldn't be anywhere.
No, we wouldn't.
We wouldn't at all.
I spent a lot of time reading my Bible and praying. And praying for a lot of other people as well.
Yeah, you gotta pray for those people that are taking advantage of you.
Well, I'm praying for them too, because they need prayer. Because I'm saying it's unfair to the artist. You know, I just sent a guy a message on Google the other day. Never met him in my life. Okay, another one of my records that's out right now from Italy. I wrote the song, Steve. I wrote the song with the producers. As a matter of fact, the first time I ever came to London to do some recording, a guy named Andrew Doc Livingstone and Noel Rao, okay, they wanted me to do a track with them. So I wrote the lyrics in the studio on the spot with these guys. They released the record in 1993 called Come Together. Okay, then they did licensing deals with America. And this other company in Italy called Pavesi Sound. Okay, one day, I was working with a guy named Judge Jules. He's one of the biggest DJs out of England with the dance stuff. He was on BBC Radio 1, which I've done all their voiceovers for radio. I've done all the voiceovers for Kiss 100 Radio. So millions of people know my voice from the radio adverts. But Judge Jules, I used to stay at his house and was recording with him and go to clubs with him. And he would get all of these records, like, coming from all over the world before he'd go out and play on a certain gig. He would listen to the first four bars of a record. If he liked it, he'd put it in his bag and play it in the club. If he didn't like it, he'd throw it to the side. So one day, I'm down there with him, and he's playing this track. He put this one record on, and I only heard the first four bars, and I heard my voice. I heard my voice. And he took it off real quick. I said, wait a minute, Jules, put that back on, man. That was me. He said, that wasn't you. I said, Jules, please put the record back on. He put it back on, and it was me, Steve. Like, I heard my voice just that quick. I said, that's my voice, man. I said, let me see that label. And it was a label out of Italy called Pervasi Sound. But not only was it on their label, they had their names on the record like they wrote the song.
Mm.
And they didn't write the song. I wrote the song with the producers of the song. My name is on that record for writing it. So I just sent this guy a message the other day. I found that he was on Google, because I went on YouTube and I seen the track, and he made a comment about the track. So that's how I seen his name. So I sent him a message just the other day and asked him, you know, would he reply to my message? I said, listen, I'm the lead singer of this record. And I want to talk to you, you know, because I'm saying it's been many years and I have never spoken to you. I don't know you, but you don't know me, but I'd like to know. I want to know where my money is. I didn't tell him that. You know, I'm not trying to scare him off. But I asked him to reply to my message.
He probably won't.
No, he probably won't. Mm. I haven't heard from him yet.
Well, I hope things get better for you for stuff like that. I mean, it's not just you. It's tons of people. It's people in the country music business. It's people, you know, and in all these recording genres that are getting done this way. And it's not new.
It's not new.
So, you know, I just ask people to go out and buy it instead of, you know, if you really like it, buy it. And you can sleep better at night if you do that. Before I let you go, Roni, I want to ask you about your Facebook and Twitter, how people can get a hold of you, contact you to get a show, and that sort of stuff. Can you go through that for me?
Yes, please. Yes. Well, I'm on Facebook as Roni Canada.
Okay.
Okay, I've got fan pages as well, but my main page is the one that you've got. Well, which is coming on your page, which is the one that you see me in the ring.
Okay.
That's the main page. And then I have my fan pages as well. Then I'm also on Twitter, which is Roni Canada. Twitter, Roni Canada. Facebook, Roni Canada. MySpace, Roni Canada. MyFunk. If anybody wants to Google me up, if you just put my name in Google, Roni Canada, you'll see my YouTube pages. You'll see a lot of my pages come up. And a lot of sites where my music is, and a lot of different history and interviews and different things that's on Google. Like I said, for contact, as far as work is concerned, right now I'm trying to do it like a self-management thing. I'm going to talk to Rhea as well, because I need some real representation.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some so-called managers, you know, before that really seem to, like, want to manage themselves instead of managing the artists. So I try to stay clear of a lot of fake managers.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rhea Roma's the real deal.
Yeah, I know. I've been talking to Rhea, and I thank Rhea as well in this interview for hooking me up with you, because it was Rhea. She got on to me and asked me, oh, you've sung with the Drifters, because she's worked with the Drifters before.
Mm-hmm.
So my history of singing with the Drifters, I sung with Bobby Ruffin, who was one of the Drifters with Charlie Thomas and Ellsbury Hobb. He was on one of the 1972 albums, so he took us to Spain in 1985. And I just done a show with Bobby after 28 years of not singing with him at all. We were together in Vegas. He wanted me back with the group, but I didn't go with the group. So I sung in Vegas with the Coasters, Drifters, and Plotters. And then Bobby wanted me back with him. But we just did our first performance together this past Christmas for December in Spain in a place called Benidorm at Benidorm Palace. So I'll post you some of those photos as well, a couple of videos that we did out there. But he's in Detroit right now. He went back home. He flew over from America to Spain. And another guy in the group was Larry Ray. He's in Italy. Larry flew in. And we had a guy named Eddie Wade. Eddie had never sung with us before, but I've done some performances with Eddie with the Platters. So we brought Eddie in. We did a great job, man. We only had, what, 2 days rehearsal? Went on stage. And it's like we've been together for 20 years.
That's awesome. That's
awesome.
There's
a lot going on, but you got on my Facebook, you got my Twitter, you got my iPhone. I'm on Reverb Nation as well. And a lot of the sites that my music is on, you can go, is a thing called Track Source, which is TRAXSOURCE.
Mm-hmm.
Track Source, and you got Beatport. And this is what they're putting all the dance sites on right now. I'm on the album with Nothing Compares to You right now that just came out of Ibiza. And normally these guys go to number one every year. So I've been on there for like the last 3 years with different releases. So if you just go through Track Source and Beatport, if you go on iTunes, put my name in, Ronnie Canada, and then you see where it says All. And just click onto All and you'll see all of my releases, albums, records. You see albums that I'm on. I'm on some albums with Billie Holiday, with the Ink Spots, with the, I'm on there with some of the most famous people in the world with Never Stop Loving You as Caviar. So just check that site out.
Sure will. Sure will.
You go through some of the albums and you'll see some of the names on there. You'll be saying like, wow. It really shocked me to see this. I'm on there with the Dells and I'm on there with the Drifters, with me not being in the group, in there with Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. Everybody's on this site. And I happen to be on this with George McRae. Matter of fact, I did a recording with George last year in Holland.
George McRae.
Yeah, from Rock Me Baby.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
If you ever need any voiceovers, anything.
All right. Sounds good to me, man. Yeah. I really enjoyed talking to you. If you don't mind, I got a couple of credits I need to run through, but don't hang up on me. I just got to run through these and I'll let you go, okay?
Okay.
All right. I need to let everybody know that Stars on Tap is brought to you by Miss Rhea Roma of Rhea's Rescues in the greater Los Angeles area. She's our co-producer and great friend. Our technical advisor is Miss Betty Martin. Without Betty, we couldn't pull this off. She fixes what I tear up, and what I can't figure out, she figures out. So, and she's sitting right next to me, and we love her for all what she does for us as well. I'd also like to mention Jimmy Lawson Space Coast iRadio in Melbourne, Florida, for playing this show and others. I'd like to mention Steve Harris at Starlight UK Radio in Newcastle, England, for playing this show. We appreciate Steve for that. I'd also like to mention Big Dog Records and Big Dog Productions for being a part of the show. And I'd like to mention OperationBlanketsOfLove.org. I'd also like to mention SavingCanineLivesPlus.org. Their shelter rescue operations in the Los Angeles area. And I really would like to see if you guys could help support that as well. I'd also like to thank God for the opportunity of being here and speaking with Ronnie for speaking to me about his history and what he's got going on. It's been really interesting, and I appreciate that. And as always, I'm your host, Steve Martin. Until next time, enjoy the music.